And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise in the name of Jesus." Now, you ever wonder what all three of the Sunday readings have to do with each other? Why the lectionary groups them together the way they do? Well, let's see if we can summarize them. From Leviticus, we have that love your neighbor as yourself part. From Colossians, we get Paul's prayer of bearing fruit in every good work. And from the gospel, we have before us the parable of the Good Samaritan. So if you hear them like that, really short, and hopefully it summarizes as you hear it back to back to back that way, you can catch on how they are linked. But knowing that now, let me ask you something. Is today's theme, all three of those linked together, about you? Is it all about you or what we should be doing or what we do? Because many have formed the opinion that that is what these popular verses have to do with, the things you do. However, I want you to be filled with knowledge and wisdom that they are actually not about what we do, but what about that is about what we do not do, what we don't do. And that way, it has to and always accumulates and culminates in Jesus, what Jesus does. Yes, of course, when Moses speaks the law to the people, when he paraphrases the Ten Commandments from the Lord, all that does have to do with having good morals. But it is really an elongated form of the "you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus says, if you are able to do these two, just those two, you will have fulfilled all the law. However, it is natural law, even to outsiders, because who doesn't like that quote that you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself? Everyone has heard the golden rule, treat others, do unto others as you would have them do to you. How often do we live by that rule? Know also that that kind of love is not speaking to an emotional love with our neighbors. It is speaking to the actions that we make. Really, how do we act towards each other? That kind of love. Or better yet, how do we justify our actions towards one another? And now here is where the lawyer in us all steps into the room. It's in Luke chapter 10. First, the lawyer asked Jesus what to do to inherit eternal life. Now that's an inward focus, no doubt. What can I do? But as a good teacher, Jesus answers a question with a question. How do you read the law? First, Jesus is concerned with how you read the word. Can you get it right? The man answers with a correct answer, but desiring to justify himself, he asks, "But who is my neighbor?" You see, it's his way of getting out of what he hasn't done rather than what he has. And like him, you and I haven't fulfilled the whole law either. Yet we are rather good at treating others the way they treat us, especially when they treat us unwell. So our justification is, well, the Bible says to do it back to them. We justify our actions that way. We think it is just if we treat others the exact way that they treat us, especially when they do us wrong. It is a tit-for-tat relationship. And truly, all of this, folks, is courtroom talk. It is the plaintiff versus the defendant. Which one are you? The one who brings the offense or the one who has to defend themselves? Which lawyer are you best suited to be? For there will come a time when we have to stand in judgment, the courtroom, and the throne room of God, and we will be asked whether we have believed and loved God, and whether we have wholly fulfilled the whole law. Then we shall most likely see ourselves as if on death row, a dead man walking or half dead. We will stand nervous on the sentence, a sentence imposed on our corrupt nature. So we need a defense attorney. Thus in comes Christ into the courtroom, in walks the Good Samaritan to attend to the one half dead. Since we are just that, he will speak on our behalf. "Alas, Father, although they have not fully fulfilled the law, yet I have done so. So let this be to their benefit because they believe in me. You know that advice given to someone who is arrested? And the advice is to say nothing until your attorney gets there. Yes, that's good advice. Simply let Christ do the talking. We are indebted to love God with our whole heart. And we would have to perish forever if we remained in condemnation. In that way, we lie on the road, beaten as the man who was half dead. Now, to be in that condition, half dead, means that we cannot help ourselves. It would do us more harm if we tried to get up on our own. Because of our wounds, we'd get hurt more trying to get up. And precisely speaking, the devil has robbed our souls. He has taken it captive in Adam and Eve. He is after your faith and mine. He is after our righteousness, and he leaves nothing except our bodily lives, which will soon be extinguished. But in comes the healer with his mercy pouring on his grace. The oil and the wine, you see, drown the old Adam. And the healer then will put you on his own animal, which is also himself, that you may feel that you are lying on his shoulders. This is really Christ giving you his sufferings as he then walks you to the end. The end is the Christian church, in order that there you may be restored back to health. Starting to see that this is all about Jesus and what he does. Now, parabolically, Jesus is not only the Good Samaritan and the animal who carries you, but he also became the dead man who was stripped and beaten. But today, it is suffice for today's lesson that he is seen as the healer. Now, I get the tagline of that of today's message from a movie called The Healer. I saw it last week, and it's a movie that came out in 2016. It's about a young man who discovers he has the gift of healing, but he doesn't know it. He's caught up in all these troubles and failures, and so his estranged uncle finds him, has him meet up with him to tell him that he'll take care of all his debts if he does something for him. If you go and live in Nova Scotia for a year, I have a house there. I want you to go there for a year. Now, this main character named Alec Bailey, he pretty much has to take him up on the deal because he's in a lot of trouble. But the uncle knows that his bloodline, in it, there is this gift of healing. And the gift is bestowed upon every other generation of men when they turn 30 years old, which Alec is going to be. And it's from the family house in Nova Scotia that this all takes place from. Has to be there and begin there. Now there, all the townspeople know about the healer. They know about it. They're waiting for a new son to come and heal them. So with the help of a girl, and steps in a girl, yes, there's romance in it, the word gets out that he's there. So people start coming to him. He doesn't know what's going on. He has no faith. He's actually mad at God, mainly for taking his twin brother. But these townspeople do start getting healed just by Alec's presence. And when he finally gets told by his uncle the whole family story behind it, he freaks out and says, I don't want this gift. And so the way it worked is it was his choice to take it or leave it. But he had to make the decision on midnight, before midnight of his birthday. That was within days. Take it or leave it. But if he doesn't want it, if he doesn't take it, it'll be gone for good. So Alec is so caught up in himself that he says, no, I don't want the gift. So it leaves him. Just wants to get out of Nova Scotia and go back home. But a few days later, a mom and dad bring this little girl to them, their daughter who has terminal cancer. And they ask if he will heal her of it. He tells them he can't anymore. See, they weren't informed that he declined the gift. The townspeople were, but they came from out of town a long way off and didn't know that announcement. So after blowing them off, the young girl of theirs eventually gets him to agree to just pretend that he'll do it. Hang around her for a short period of time, and then she'll go back home and just tell her parents it didn't work. But what ends up happening is he ends up getting close to the girl. He feels for her and does want her to be cured of her illness. So he goes to the church, and he screams at God to give the gift back to him. But it doesn't work that way. He denied the gift. Well, the drama plays out that him and his girlfriend now get to know and love the young girl and wishes that she could at least stay there with them. But she has to go back home. Everyone's sad. Life goes on, though. One day she writes a letter to them, and all it says in it is, "Call me." So they call her together, and she tells them on the phone that she had to go to the doctor for blood work and tests. And when all of that happened, all of a sudden the doctor says the cancer is now in full remission. Alec had got the gift back, but he didn't know it. He just spent time with the girl, and his presence with her bestowed the gift. Of course, there's lots of hugs and smiles all around as he realizes he got the gift back. And the young girl on the phone says, "So I'll see you guys for Christmas then." Because they stayed in touch even after that. It's a great movie, in my opinion. But what does this all have to do with the gospel and loving your neighbor as yourself? Let's go back to our epistle. Paul's prayer continues to the saints at Colossae. "May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Also, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." You know, that's FedEx UPS talk right there. He delivers us, like putting us on the beast of burden. And he transfers us from death, that is sickness and darkness, the place of the dead, to the kingdom, which is the place and presence of the healer. And now he qualifies you to share in all this, share in his healing power. And he is the one who makes you able to do it. That is why Jesus can say at the end of the parable, "You go and do likewise." You can do likewise because I have shown mercy. And that word mercy is the one used for covenant love, covenant loyalty there. That is the definition of God's mercy, his covenant love. Those who receive his power, which is his covenant love, can now share in his healing power. That is a covenant and power bought with his blood. So Luke gives us the specifics, right? That Jesus gave the innkeeper 2 denarii. So Luke wants us to know that because 2 denarii is exactly equal to 2 days' wages. As Christ on the cross and in the tomb labored the pangs of death for 2 days. Not half dead, though, but all the way dead. And then on the 3rd day, arose, was resurrected to life. Because of that, he has more to give. He then tells the church, the innkeeper of the sick, remember, that whatever he needs after that, I will repay you when I come back. Until Christ's return, the church keeps tending to you. The church is Christ's presence of healing. And though the church is how Jesus applies the ointment and disinfects the wounds, you know, in this world we still have trouble, but those ointments do heal. And when that happens, when you receive the ointments here every Sunday, you now have the gift. You can deny it if you want, but if you do not deny it, whenever you are in the presence of others, you have the power of Jesus to heal them. Anyone that you find yourself in the same room with, anyone that you happen to come in contact with during the day or night, whether it's your boss, your coworker, even a family member or friend, there is your neighbor. And there, your presence, just the presence in the room, can change the entire scene. It can change how the rest of the day goes, how the rest of their story goes. Last Sunday's epistle told us about bearing one another's burdens, to stop and hear them out. And in this way, you take care of your neighbor, not by regarding what they do to you, but what Jesus has done for you. He only is the Good Samaritan and the fulfiller of all the law. He only is justifier. He justifies us by his good work, not ours. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then you will find yourself loving your neighbor as yourself. Just like Alec didn't know. He was just having compassion and changing his heart, being around the young, sick girl. He was full of joy. Nonetheless, the girl was full of joy, nonetheless. She even teaches them this little dance and song. Just being around that, he got his gift back. And with that kind of love and action, anything can be put into remission. Bet you didn't know you had that kind of power, did you? You have the power to bind wounds and bring people to the end. Yes, the law will do nothing but discover the disease, but it is the gospel that ministers the medicine. So the lawyer once again comes desiring eternal life, but that can only be had in the presence of the healer. And where Christ is, their faith and love meet together and fulfill the law. Christ carries our infirmities and sicknesses. He takes our sins upon himself and has patience when we fail. And when we lay about his neck, he does not become weary of carrying us. That should be the greatest comfort for us when we are in conflict with sin. Here in this world, yes, we must remain for a short time. But here in this world, we have a host that comes to us, the Word of God. And we have a purse to care for us, which is the gospel, Christ for you, and in you, the hope of glory. He will come back to the end. But for now, the end is where the healed become the healer, and the healer becomes the neighbor. That's the journey we are on, the journey that bears fruit and is growing, the one that the Father has qualified for you, qualified you for, the road that the Son has carried you on, with the Holy Spirit giving you wisdom and understanding for it. So the prayer to the church by the Apostle Paul proves that because of your faith in Christ Jesus, because of your love for all the saints, and because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, healing is on its way. When you want to get up on your own, though, don't. Stay down, for the healer will not pass you by. Get his healing so that you can take it to others. First you get the goods, then you give them away. Do this, and you will live. Let Christ tend to you. He is the God of the end. From everlasting to everlasting, he is healer. And in him and through him, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In the name of Jesus, amen.